The McLean County Museum of History joins its annual Lincoln Fest this weekend. GLT's Mary Cullen speaks with Frank Norris, a historian of the National Park Service, ahead of his presentation on what life was like for African Americans traveling along Route 66 ahead of the passage of the Civil Rights Act.
Well, Route 66 was a adventurous, fun way for Americans to head out toward the Great Plains, the Mountain West, and the Pacific Coast from the 1930s to the 1970s. Those who traveled the road when as African Americans found it challenging, and there were a number of impediments along the way.
Listeners might be most familiar with the movie that came out last year called Green Book, and it told the true story of Don Shirley, an African-American pianist traveling through the U.S. in the early 1960s. But the film got its namesake from a book written by Victor Hugo Green. Can you tell us a little bit about the book itself?
Victor Green was a postal worker in the Harlem section of New York City, but he also ran a travel agency on the side, and he knew a number of people in the black community in Harlem. And during the early to mid 1930s was a time in which there was a large and growing black middle class. They wanted to travel like so many other people. They had automobiles, but they were in a difficult position because the highways of America, both north and south, were hostile places to them. They wanted to have a chance to go to Alabama to visit their grandparents. They wanted to have a chance to go out west and see the national parks. They wanted to have a chance to travel and see America like everyone else did. But they also wanted respectability, and the last thing that they wanted was to have people slam doors in their faces when they wanted to go to hotels and restaurants. They contacted Victor Green and said, "Can you put together a directory for us that lists accommodations that will welcome us?"
So the Green Book then was more of a broad look at across the entire U.S. And in your presentation on Saturday is detailing specifically on Route 66, correct?
That's correct. And really, the lessons that I learned are pretty broadly applicable all around the country.
From your research, maybe you could take listeners on a journey as an African American traveling on Route 66, whether moving from east to west or west to east, I'll leave that up to you. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about what that was like and the experiences that they had.
Most travelers along Route 66, black or white, oftentimes started in Chicago, which of course had a large black population, but blacks leaving Chicago really didn't know what that landscape out there was like, although they probably had some hunches that in certain places the landscape was pretty hostile. So before the Green Book came along, they had learned various techniques on how to get by so that they could find places to stay. For instance, they might drive along the main street of a town, look for a black passerby and say, "Where can we stay?" or "Where can we have a meal?" But sometimes when people headed out on long journeys, they didn't have that bank of information and they simply just drove straight on through. They might pack a picnic basket and just keep on driving unless they obviously needed gas. They otherwise just drove all night long.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mary Cullen speaking with Frank Norris, a historian for the National Park Service. What about public transportation? How did that come into play?
Well, African Americans look forward to driving America's highways because it did not have a lot of the sort of structural impediments that other forms of transportation did. In the South, for instance, there were Jim Crow cars where all blacks were told to travel. There were, on buses, oftentimes blacks needed to sit in the back of the bus. Obviously, the personal vehicle gave blacks the freedom to be able to drive wherever they wanted and however they wanted. So it was a real vehicle of freedom for them. The only trouble was the sides of the roads were not integrated, and they ran across a lot of the same hostilities, though in just different forms, once they pulled over and tried to get something to eat or a place to stay.
As you mentioned earlier, those leaving Chicago and really taking Route 66 west out to California or wherever their destination was, how did it change from moving from Chicago to the more rural areas as you approach California?
The rural areas changed a good deal as you left Chicago and headed west across the Midwest, across the plains, and toward the Pacific coast. One of the things that I looked for in my research was whether this pattern of sundown towns changed significantly as you went from the Midwest toward the Pacific coast. Actually, what I found was that in many areas of New Mexico and Arizona, many of the small towns were in fact sundown towns, but there were also instances that many of those supposed sundown towns may have been on Indian reservations, or there simply was no industry or economic support that might have attracted blacks historically. So the question remains as to whether these areas had reasons to be sundown towns more in the classic sense, or whether there simply weren't any economic attractors to bring African Americans into those areas.
As a society, we know that as time changes, culture changes with it. And it's not always everywhere follows the same path, but how do you see that we have changed as a culture since looking at, say, the Green Book movie that came out was based in the 1960s compared to where we are today?
Nationally, there were many indications during the 1950s that attitudes toward blacks, you know, among certain white groups were becoming more tolerant. But the evidence is mixed in many other parts of Route 66. So I didn't really find any evidence that in Texas or Oklahoma, Missouri, that there was any particular softening all the way up until the Civil Rights Act was passed in 1964. And of course, the passage of that act required that all owners of public accommodations, such as motels and restaurants, were required to open their doors to people of all races.
So we've covered a lot today, but what else can listeners expect to hear and learn from you during your presentation?
I think one thing that they'll be somewhat surprised about is to find out from the black point of view just what a scary landscape it was out there. Those people who have already seen the movie will recognize that the Green Book movie was a stark, accurate representation of what life was like for black travelers prior to the Civil Rights Act. What they may be surprised about, however, was that attitudes in some northern states were just as rigid and uncompromising as they were in the Jim Crow South. It was more a matter of custom and less of law, but the prohibitions against blacks were just as strong.
WGLT's Mary Cullen speaking with National Park Service historian Frank Norris. Catch his presentation, Courageous Motorists, tomorrow at 1:30 at the McLean County Museum of History.